Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 20 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista, and as always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm pretty good. You know, the Giants couldn't ruin my weekend for the third weekend in a row. Well, this time it's because they didn't play, but they're really knocking on the door, even though they didn't play. But, like, the NFC East is so tight. So I'm chilling there. The Jets almost won, but they lost, which we're going to get into right away. So
yeah, so we've got a bit of a different schedule than usual.
We have a lot of Knicks stuff today.
Exactly. Which is fun. We're coming off the NBA draft. The Knicks had a very interesting night. I'd say that it was positive, but we'll get more into that later.
They had a very interesting week.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get into that a little bit later, though. Let's start right now with the Jets and the Giants. So this will just be a little quick segment. We don't really have too much to talk about. We'll focus on mostly the Knicks this time. But yeah, for the Jets this weekend, they played the Chargers. And honestly, like, obviously they lost, but I could not ask for a better outcome. And I say that because
– close game. Yeah.
Exactly. Close game. We showed some highlights of potential. Denzel Mims had not an amazing game, but he had a very promising game that showed possibly the future of this Jets receiving corp. Because, look, right now, if the Jets are going into next season with a receiving corp of Mims, Perriman, and Crowder, as well as someone like an Allen Robinson or a Kenny Golladay, that's a pretty solid core right there. Like, as long as everyone could stay healthy, that's a maybe not a top 10, but that's at least a top 15 wide receiving corp in the league.
There's for sure potential there, especially if you get Robinson in free agency, like a pickup like that. But as we know, the Jets free agency pickups the last few years haven't been too hot. So, like, we shouldn't really bank on that. But
100%. And I think, like, it's always a big what if. Like, that's a very big pickup. That's a wide receiver one you're getting. That's not going to be cheap, obviously. But I think that the Jets, the fact that they were able to at least stay in the game somewhat, where, you know what, Justin Herbert had a very good game.
Herbert is nuts, dude.
Rookie of the year now that Burrow's out, 100%.
You're completely correct. Like, it sucks what happened to Joe Burrow. I guess because the Giants are playing the Bengals, so we can talk about that.
My fantasy team, but prayers up to him, obviously.
But, yeah, seriously, that sucks for a young kid.
Like, with the Jets, there were some flashes of potential. Flacco is like the tank commander, if you want to put it that, in the way where, like, he's able to kind of command the team, but he's still able to lose the games, but do it in a way that they don't look absolutely horrendous. Obviously, the Jets had their flaws. There were different parts. I think Gase was behind the play calling, which is why most of it didn't really work at different times. LaMichael Perine got hurt, and he's mostly going to be out for a few games. I think they put him on IR, but I'm not completely sure.
That really sucks because, dude, like, the Jets aren't getting – like, I don't know what kind of, like, improvement they think that they're going to get by, like, just, like, trotting out Frank Gore every week. Like, I don't know how they're going to progress at all.
100. No, I completely agree with that.
That doesn't even make any sense. Like, dude, you're, like, the worst team in the NFL. like, stop trotting out, like, a 38-year-old running back. Like, that's not going to help your future. It just doesn't make any sense. Like it sucks that Perine got hurt, but he's got to get more touches, dude.
No, I completely agree with that. Perine, like, they had a report going into the week, which is why I picked him up in fantasy, that he was going to get a little more of a workload where they just wanted to see if he was able to be their starting running back in the future or maybe just a solid point of the offense. And, yeah, it's unfortunate that he got hurt, but you're completely right. I think that it's useless. It's pointless. As much as I love Frank Gore and absolutely respect his entire career, I think that putting him out there is extremely stupid. Just because
it doesn't make sense for the Jets. If he was on a contender and he could be like a third down back, like maybe like a red zone back, like on a contending team that needs like running, that might make sense. But for the Jets to trot him out there, just like I don't see the logic in that at all.
And like I feel bad too because like he's going to waste away it could be his final years of his career. We've been saying that for a very long time, but
right.
Maybe I mean, the final year of his career going 0-16.
Yeah.
That sucks.
The Jets aren't going to go 0-16.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. I really think the Jets are going to win a game, man.
Look, I'm hoping that the Jets do at the same time. I'm hoping that we get the first pick. So, got to hope for a Jacksonville late surge in the season with Minshew coming back. So, we're not going to go too in-depth with the Jets. They play Miami at home. So it's going to be in MetLife.
Is Tua hurt? I was a little confused about that.
So they benched Tua for performance reasons and put Fitz in.
Oh, wow. I wasn't sure, like, what the deal with that was when I saw it.
But, like, I respect that. Like, I love Brian Flores, and I think that if the Dolphins make the playoffs, he should win Coach of the Year.
The Dolphins are still playing, like, in a win-now situation. Like, they're trying to make the playoffs.
Like, the fact that the Dolphins were able to go through such a quick rebuild and become a decent team with a first-year quarterback at the helm, also with a 40-whatever-year-old quarterback at the beginning of the season, after being a complete – I don't know what the right word is, but they were terrible last year. I mean, they were the laughingstock of the league, and they've already
converted 2 months
into almost a wild card team. So I got to give a lot of props to Brian Flores and the Miami organization for that entire thing.
It just shows that you can really kind of start a rebuild in 1 year, which is why it makes no sense that the Giants and Jets have sucked for so long. It just shows their blatant ineptitude, because, like, the Niners did it last year. The Dolphins are doing somewhat to a lesser extent this year. Like, you can, like, turn it around quickly if you have the right pieces. Like, I don't know. Like, seriously, like, props to them. Good job, by Miami. No,
exactly. So, just play the Dolphins next week. I'm not really expecting a win, but out of the remaining Jets schedule, it probably seems the most likely. Actually, that's not true.
Because gosh, you're right. It might be. I'm looking at the Jets schedule. You literally have. Dude, imagine if you guys beat the Patriots to, like, go 1-15.
Okay, see, look, I am hoping for either one or the two. I want either
the Patriots. Isn't that what you've been saying?
I hate the Browns so much. I would absolutely love to see the Jets beat the Browns. And obviously,
I'm thankful for how the Browns played this weekend. They played like crap, and they still beat the Eagles because the Eagles are trash.
That is true. The Eagles are absolutely terrible. But you know what? On that note, let's switch from the Jets to the Giants. Giants, they had a bye week. We don't have too much to talk about. But the NFC East standings, I saw that. That was actually like
– they're all separated by a half game. And like it's as of the time of recording this, it's 12:26 a.m. on Tuesday, November 24th. And it is just a tight – if you told me that they'd all be separated by half a game at this late in the season, like back in August or September, I'd be like, okay, yeah, right. Like – you guys, like, I was telling everyone, like, in our pregame show, I was like, I was pretty high on Dallas. I thought they were going to be really good, but obviously they're not. I mean, sucks what happened to Dak Prescott, but, like, it's clear that they have holes all around there. But if the Giants – so here's the situation for the Giants going into this week. Is it week 13?
We're going 12? Into week
12. 12. Going into week 12. If the Giants beat Cincinnati, which – got first of all, prayers up. Got for Joe Burrow. That really stinks, man.
Yeah, that sucks for him.
Like, prayers up for him. I hope, wishing for a speedy recovery. Like, it stinks to see that happen, especially like a kid in his rookie year, bright future. Like, probably would have been the offensive rookie of the year, and like that Bengals offensive line finally got to him. Man, that stinks. That really stinks to see.
Yeah. No. And look. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Obviously, this doesn't really pertain to Cincinnati, but the Giants are in the best position right now to win the NFC East.
I don't know if best is the word I would use.
No, because look, the Giants right now
– pretty split. I'd say even though the Eagles are in first, they probably have the worst odds.
No, because the Eagles have the easiest schedule out of the four, I think.
No, the Eagles have the hardest out of the four.
No, that's right. That's right. I'm thinking – okay. The Eagles right now.
Cowboys or Washington. We have a more difficult schedule than Dallas and Washington. But we control our own destiny in the Dallas situation because we play them week 17. And with Washington, we went 2-0 against them. So if we were to tie with them at, say, 5-11 or 6-10 or whatever it is, the Giants have the tiebreaker because they beat them twice.
I think right now the best – case scenario for the Giants, not the best case scenario, but the most likely scenario is going to be it's going to come down to a week 16, week 17 game where it's
listen,
just
the Giants, first of all, they have to win this week.
Who do they play this week?
Cincinnati. You have to beat a Burrowless Bengals or else they don't deserve to win the NFC. No, they have to win that game.
No. Hold on. First off, no team deserves to win the NFC East.
That is correct. But what it's gonna come down to is it's like whoever has the best record in the last six games is gonna win. Whoever plays the best in the last six games is gonna win the NFC East. I don't think I'm pretty certain of that, unless some like weird like tiebreaker stuff happens and like I don't know, you never know. But the two games the Giants 100,000,000% need to win are the Bengals and the Cowboys. And I've been saying that for weeks, especially now that Joe Burrow is out. The Giants have to take that game.
Okay, so now let's wrap up the Giants segment, but I'm just going to ask you this question. So now we're going into week 12. Week 11 just ended. They're off their bye week. The NFC East is 3-7, with the Eagles winning by half of a game, going 3-6-1.
Right.
Do you think, as of right now, as of November 24th at 12:30 a.m., do you think that the Giants are going to win the NFC East?
Here's what I'll say about it. I like our chances a lot. I'm confident. I'm maybe blindly confident, like hopelessly hoping. You know what I mean? Here's what I'll break it down before we move on to the next year. The Giants need to beat the Bengals and they need to beat the Cowboys. The situation for only week 12 specifically is obviously the Cowboys in Washington are playing on Thanksgiving. I think Giants fans need to root for Washington in that game. Obviously they'll move to 4-7 and become first in the division. But like I stated earlier, the Giants have that tiebreaker. And if the Giants beat Cincinnati along with a Washington win and a Seahawk win over the Eagles on Monday Night Football, the Giants will, on tiebreakers, be in first place at the end of week 12. So that's the best case scenario for this weekend. But really, you can't be upset with anything at all that happens as long as the Giants can pick up a win. The Giants need to win in Cincinnati, and that's the biggest thing. That'll put them at a three-game winning streak heading into a tough stretch with Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, and Baltimore. And they need to win. The Giants need to win one of those games. Let's get that straight. Like, that's a must. You can't lose all four. That would make it really difficult. But the two you really have to win are the Cincinnati game next week and the Dallas game in week 17. Those are must wins. And, and then obviously they're going to need help. But if the Giants, like, rattle off, like, four wins in their last six games, which probably definitely won't happen, then they'll win the NFC East. So we'll see. They're playing good football right now. Like I said last week, it's really – I see it coming together for the first time. So hopefully they don't lay an egg on Sunday, because if they do, they're donezo.
I respect that. I'm hoping for the best for the Giants. It'll be good for the pod. It'll be good for you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's just nice to watch competitive – like, they're playing important football games in late November, which is exciting because that doesn't usually happen.
So. Good for them. Good for the Giants.
Seriously.
If there's any year, it's this year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if there's going to be a year for the Giants to turn their organization around and start rattling off just becoming perennial NFC East division winners, this is the time. So let's do it.
All right, let's shift over from the gridiron to the basketball court. We're going to go into the Knicks. This past week has been very interesting for the Knicks. Let's start off with the draft. First round, we landed Obi Toppin with our first pick.
You know, I really can't complain. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there. The reason I'm not going to complain is because they didn't trade up for him. Like, so.
No, yeah, I get that.
I guess I know a lot of people wanted Haliburton a lot. I don't really have much an opinion on him. And we got quickly – when did we get him? Like the beginning of the second round, end of the first?
Who?
Emmanuel Quickly.
Oh, Quickly, sorry.
Point guard from Kentucky.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, that was, end of the first. That was like, what, 25th pick? No, so hold up.
Here's the thing. Leon Rose, like, I don't know. Like, I usually – I don't know. Hopefully this isn't just like blindly hoping, but like, I don't know. I feel like he handled it pretty well. And like – the fact that they didn't make any stupid moves, I really can't complain about.
Okay, so my idea of the draft. So going in, they pick Obi Toppin. I didn't like the pick entirely, but that's just because, like, I like Obi Toppin. He's a Westchester native. He's a good player, and I think he'll be a good fit on the Knicks. I just think that we needed a guard more, but that's not something that needed to be – I mean, it was something that needed to be addressed, but – the fact that they were able to grab Quickly later in the round kind of showed that. But
listen, in my perfect world, we would have traded up for LaMelo Ball just because of the star power aspect of it. Just to have that in New York would have been super cool.
That would be cool.
No, like, but that would have been my perfect world. Yeah.
So I really liked Leon Rose's moves this draft just because he was able to flip. What was it?
Oh, yeah, I saw this. Yeah. You said, I forgot the numbers.
He was able to flip a 27 and a 38. So the 27th pick in the first round and the 38th pick in the second for a 25 and a 33 for literally nothing.
Yeah, that's magic right there. Like, he finessed.
So the fact that he was able to do that and still land, because I don't know if the Knicks wanted RJ Hampton. He would have just been another.
If they did want him, they got way too cute with that.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that he wouldn't have really fit with the Knicks just because he's more of a driver and we don't really need that right now. I think Quickley is a better fit for the Knicks. I think Hampton's a more talented player, so the fact that he dropped that low was very, very surprising. But I think that the Knicks knew what they were doing because they wouldn't have made that trade if they wanted Hampton, because they could have just picked him then. So
exactly. I feel like they probably would have picked Quickley anyway because of the fact that they traded down that second time. And if Hampton was still on the board and they picked Quickley, people would have freaked out, man.
And then from there, they trade the 33 for I think it was a Pistons second rounder, which is obviously just for capital so they can make more moves. But then this is my favorite move of draft night. This is actually the morning after. The Knicks sign Miles Powell, undrafted free agent who
slipped. I like that a lot too, because you know what? What Trenton makes, the world takes, man. Trenton Catholic boy. That's Mercer County. That's where I'm from. So that's exciting for me. I really like that a lot too.
Because he went to Seton Hall, right?
He did go to Seton Hall. Yeah, he's a New York Jersey boy. Like, and so is Obi Toppin. Like, there's something to be said for, maybe it's just my nostalgia and like bias and like being from the area. There's something to be said about these kids from like the metropolitan tri-state area, man. It gets me excited. I don't know why.
Look, Miles Powell is arguably the best player to ever step on a court in a Seton Hall basketball uniform. So,
oh yeah, he's definitely in that conversation.
So the fact that he was able to drop that low, I thought
he was going to get drafted late in the first round.
That's what I said, because what's it called? My friend Alex was talking. He was like, yeah, no, I hope the Knicks draft Powell with this second round pick, because he didn't think that he was going to drop that far. So the fact that I went to bed at like probably pick 40 or something like that.
Bed a little before that as well. After they drafted Quickley, I tapped out.
The fact that he was able to last the entire second round without getting picked and the Knicks were still able to grab him, I was extremely happy with that move, because I think that could be a real game changer right there.
Yeah, I mean, see, I feel like the Knicks made a lot of value plays, which usually I don't see them doing. You know what I mean? It's more of like a smart micromanaging approach that I guess is kind of new to this organization, as opposed to going out and getting a name. And that's what they didn't do and they haven't done yet, so I trust that they won't. They're probably going to be bad again this year.
Oh, completely. But you know what? I think that this might be the last year of a rebuild.
I really, really hope so, because listen, our very first episode, we talked about Tom Thibodeau. I remember it was our very first show, and I was very hot and cold on it. Like, I really hope that this isn't, because I don't know if he's a much of a development coach. You know what I mean? He's, I don't know. It's a stretch to say this. Like, this is me being like performative, but like, people are saying, like, oh, he ruined Derrick Rose's career. He ruined Joakim Noah's career, this and all. Like, Cat, Andrew Wiggins. I hope that that doesn't happen, because the Knicks have a lot of young players right now. They need to develop. They need to grow. They need to build chemistry together. Because I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I know they've tried it so many times. They need to go out and, if they play well enough this year as a young team, who's to say that under Rose Thibodeau leadership, the Knicks don't want to go out and try and get a star in the summer of 21.
Okay, look, I'm going to just go through the Knicks' moves for what they did and what they didn't do.
Yeah, their free agency stuff as well.
Yeah, so first off, they signed Miles Powell. We talked about that a little bit. Then they don't sign Gordon Hayward, which I think is a great move. I think that Charlotte's overpaying him 4 years, $120 million for Gordon Hayward.
I would not have liked that deal. I wouldn't. If the Knicks did that, I would have been upset, despite the fact that they have so much cap right now.
Then they go and sign Alec Burks, which I think is a very solid deal. It's a one-year deal. It's not.
How do you feel about the Austin Rivers one?
Yeah, so I was about to get to that. So they re-sign Elfrid Payton, then they sign
that Alfred one. Rivers. That one was the weird one for me. The Elfrid Payton one.
Yeah, see, I feel like if they were going to re-sign Elfrid Payton, then they shouldn't have signed Rivers.
That's why, like, this just all ended up being kind of weird, but continue.
And, like, the Rivers deal is a three-year deal, so I don't think it's going to be, like, a trade-type thing. So unless the Knicks are planning to get rid of Payton and maybe a deal with Randall, then I don't really see the point of that. But my favorite move from this week is the entire Ed Davis saga. So the Knicks trade for Ed Davis and a second-round pick for nothing, like legitimately nothing. They don't have to give up anything. It's just cap space. And then they flip Ed Davis to – who was it? It was the Timberwolves for Amari Spellman, Jacob Evans, and a future second-round pick. So basically, out of nothing, he got a second-round pick, another second-round pick, Amari Spellman, and Jacob Evans.
So listen – nowhere near to the extent of, like, what's going on in OKC. But, like, don't you think it's a little ominous here that the Knicks are stacking up so many second-round picks? Like, you've got to think that maybe something like
– look, I think that
– I don't know. I can't help but, as a Knicks fan, be kind of cryptic about that. That's all completely. I'm saying. I can't help it.
Because, like – no, see, my – I think that the Knicks – what – if there's anything that they have to do, there's one of two options that I think can both work, but chances are only one of them is going to happen. Number one, you need to trade Julius Randle away.
Yes, I'm 100% on board for that. He is not – he just doesn't have a – there's no fit, and he wasn't that good.
Exactly. He's completely not worth it. I think that this team is better off without Julius Randle and his massive contract. I think that – I didn't think it was a bad signing at first, but it's just not a fit for the team. He's not
trade him to a win now team for picks in 2020. Exactly.
And like, that's, it's not going to be that easy just because of his contract, but I think that it is necessary to trade away Randall. Second off, I think that a Russell Westbrook trade could be beneficial. And you know, a lot of people either agree with this or disagree. They think that Westbrook is a chemistry killer, similar to Kyrie Irving. But if there's any market that Russell Westbrook is going to thrive in, it's going to be New York. It's going to be Madison Square Garden. And
in the East, I think that a Russell Westbrook with this young team under a Thibodeau, that might be enough.
Exactly. And you know what? Maybe it's not going to be enough to send us to a championship. Maybe it's not going to be enough to
bring. Not yet.
But I think, look, I just want some hope as a Knicks fan. And I think that taking a 6 or 7 seed in the East with Russell Westbrook and a bunch of young players around him, I think that's fine. I'm fine.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know what the deal is going to be with COVID in 6 months, like 5 months, whatever it is, whenever the NBA season starting to come to a close. But say what you want about any Knicks team, they have as good a shot as anyone in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like,
that is not an easy place to win in the playoffs, especially after all these years.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be electric if the next time the Knicks make the playoffs, chances are it's not going to be for another few years anyway, so there won't hopefully be fans by then, but it'll be an electric environment where, you're completely right. But
like, that's going to be can't-miss basketball, because say what you want about the Knicks, they draw attention no matter what.
Look, the trade market for Russell Westbrook is not high enough where they're going to have to trade away an immense amount of their capital, of their players, of their picks, whatever it is, where – I think that as long as you hold on to RJ, as long as you hold on to Mitchell.
Mitchell Robinson and RJ Barrett are untouchables.
And the first round picks this year. I think they're fine. I'm okay with getting – there's so many –
I'll get rid of a Knox, a Nitalakina, even a Dennis Smith Jr. if that means getting Westbrook.
Completely.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's like if – that's only if they find a way to ship Randall off beforehand. Like now that it's like kind of later on in the week – I don't see the Knicks Russell Westbrook saga is kind of losing traction a little bit. So unless it picks back up, like it ultimately depends on what the Rockets do with Harden.
Because that's what I was about to say. Right now, the Rockets roster still has both Russell Westbrook and James Harden on it.
And they signed Boogie Cousins this morning.
And they signed Boogie Cousins. I don't think
– I don't know if that's a win-now thing at all at this point. Like, he's not – he's a shell of what he used to be at this point.
Look, I just – I don't think that Westbrook or Harden stays on the Rockets by the start of the season.
I think that if one's gone, both is gone, man. I don't know. Like I'd be – Well, first of all, it doesn't make sense for the Rockets for them to keep only one of them around, right? Like, you're either win now or you're getting a shit ton – or, excuse me, you're getting a bunch of capital for them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, completely.
It's like – it's one or the other. They're not going to – like, it just – you know what I mean? It wouldn't make sense to only keep one.
So, yeah, no. I think that the idea of having both Westbrook and Harden on the team is foolish at this point because they're both frustrated. They both want out. The chemistry.
Do they hate each other or do they just hate Houston? I'm confused.
Okay, so from what I saw, Westbrook wants to be the number one on a team. He doesn't want to share.
All right, welcome to New York.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And then Harden, I've seen some differing things. I think one, it's to like kind of make a super team type thing. But also I saw that
– title, big time.
I saw this is on TMZ, so I don't know how like actual it is. Like, I don't know if this is a factual thing, but I saw that the rumor is that Harden doesn't like Tillman Fertitta, the Rockets owner, because he's a Trump supporter. I don't know how true that is. I think that
I saw something about that too, but I wasn't super confident about the validity of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah, so I don't know if that's true. I think that that's not really a very good reason to get out. So I think that there's probably some other stuff behind the scenes, but
that's probably just the clickbait TMZ thing. Like, exactly. I'm sure that could totally be a factor, but like,
yeah, really? I mean,
yeah. Like, I don't know if that's enough to want to leave an organization.
Yeah. We've had racist owners. We've had other,
that was a mess. Ugh.
Donald Sterling type thing.
Yikes. Ew.
So okay. I don't know if that's going to be the main reason type thing. Maybe that's just a clickbait thing, but I think for the Knicks, all in all, I want Westbrook. I don't know if it's going to happen. I just want Randall off the team. That's my main cliche.
Yeah, I feel like if we could get both, that would be awesome. Like,
yeah, no, completely.
If we could get both of those done, excuse me, that to be more specific. I think that this is us, obviously. We're spitballing right now. We're grasping for straws at this point with this Westbrook thing. And, like, I know Randall's contract stinks, but it's only 3 years, and one of them is up. But
that's true. It's not the
end. I just don't know. I'm at a point now where, like, I don't see how Julius Randall, especially after drafting Toppin, I don't see how keeping Julius Randall around really helps.
Because, look, the Knicks can hold his contract. It's not a point of cap. It's just a point of he doesn't fit with
the team. It's a point of development, and, like, it's not a win now – if they're going to be win now, they got to get rid of him and get Westbrook. Especially because our two best young players are – I'm excluding RJ right now. Excuse me. Listen, our front court of the future, as of right now, is they're trying to make it Toppin and Robinson. So keeping Randall around especially doesn't make sense for that reason.
Yeah.
And is RJ like a three or is he going to be a two guard?
I feel like you got to
put him – I don't know what they're doing with him yet. Like, it's just so confusing.
Yeah. See, like, I feel like you have to put him at a 3 first, then a 2.
Uh-huh.
Rather than a 2-3. Just because the way that he's been playing, the way he's been coached to play, I don't know what's going to happen with Thibodeau, but I think right now you have him at the 3.
Dude, if Thibodeau gives Mitchell Robinson a bunch of minutes and wears him out, that is not what we want.
Exactly. Look, I think right now it's – solid that the Knicks were able to pick up quickly, because in the event that the Knicks make a trade for someone like a Westbrook, you'll have a bit of rest where it won't be this sort of D Rose, Joakim Noah situation where he just wears out all his players.
Yeah, but hopefully he learned from that.
Because right now, what is the realistic? Let's say Westbrook trade doesn't happen, but the Knicks are able to get rid of Randall for nothing. So just pretend Randall's not on the team. What's the most realistic starting lineup?
For me, it's probably going to be Peyton or Ntilikina, right?
I mean, you got Rivers too, though, so I don't know.
Okay. So in the backcourt, it's going to be two of these four is what I'm assuming, because I would assume they're going to start Robinson this year. It would make sense not to.
Exactly.
And they're definitely going to start RJ. and they're 90% sure going to start Obi Toppin to start the year. Those three are locks in my mind.
Yeah.
So for me, it's got to be Quickley's not going to start right away.
Exactly.
It's going to be either Ntilikina, Rivers, Payton, or Dennis Smith.
Yeah.
It's going to be it's going to be two of those four. And like DSJ is more of a two guard at this point, right?
I don't think that the Knicks hold on to DSJ, honestly.
It really, dude, I thought he was going to be awesome.
Don't forget about this. This isn't really a starting point. Like, I think that this probably is going to end up being like a sixth man, seventh man. But the Knicks did sign Nerlens Noel. I forgot to mention that before.
Actually, yeah, I didn't mind that because that was a good depth move, you know?
I thought that was solid.
Uh-huh. You think – I feel – I could see in it – oh, shoot. And I just realized I just did the starting lineup assuming – wait, that's what we were doing, assuming Randall's gone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did it right. Never mind. I'm sorry. I had a blank moment there.
Because right now the Knicks backcourt has potentially RJ Barrett, which could be obviously small forward.
Whatever. I really think they're going to put him at the three this year just because – like, I don't know. Like, people are saying, like, we need a guard. I feel like we have plenty of guards. It's just that none of them are any good. And to go along with the Dennis Smith, Dennis Smith Jr. thing, I feel like he's the type of guy that you ship off along with Julius Randle. Mm-hmm.
No, because I'm just going to read off all the guards that we have on the roster right now. So we have technically Barrett. Then you have Reggie Bullock's not coming back. Alec Burks, who we just signed. Damian Dotson's gone. Wayne Ellington's most likely gone. Who else? Then you have Ntilikina, Payton. They re-signed Theo Pinson. Miles Powell, Quickley, Austin Rivers, Dennis Smith Jr.
I mean, I don't know, but like it for me, you gotta start the guys, in my opinion, that have the highest ceiling at this point. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't start Ntilikina because we know that he's not gonna be like any good ever. Like, he's not gonna be great. Like, that's Frank Ntilikina is not just gonna come out and be like a 25 and 5 kind of guy next year. And he's played okay defense in his career, but we know that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So for me, I start to start the season. It's really tough, man. I feel like it's going to be Payton and Rivers. I feel like that would be the least. That's the one I would least want. Like, that would annoy me. I want Dennis Smith Jr. If Dennis Smith Jr. is on the team, I want him to start.
I don't think he's going to be on the team. And I think that in the event that a big trade happens for someone like a Westbrook or something like that, I don't think Payton stays either.
Yeah. Wait, didn't we just re-sign Payton?
We did re-sign Payton, but I don't think in terms of the entire season, he's not going to be a starter. And he's not going to be, like, a major point. I don't know. We'll see.
See, here's the thing. If we were to – okay. So if Julius Randle was going to get traded, do you think he'd get traded to Houston in like a Westbrook package, or is it that a separate trade to just get rid of
him? I don't think so. I don't think that the Rockets have really any interest in him. I mean, obviously that's just an assumption, but they don't really per se need him. They really need a big center, which is what they just got with Boogie. I mean,
so who do you think Houston? Yeah, that's because ever since they've gotten rid of Capella, they've needed. Yeah. But so then what do you think, what's a realistic like package that we could even make for Westbrook at this point? If we're trying to, obviously we're excluding Top and we're excluding RJ and we're excluding Mitchell Robinson. I feel like everything else has to be fair game. What's a realistic package? Cause you might have to get rid of one of those three guys, which I think that
if you get rid of like a Dennis Smith or a Ntilikina, cause they're most likely going to be the most expendable out of everyone. You're not going to
I don't know if that's enough. That's not nearly enough value.
Oh, no, like, I'm not talking
about that. A lot of picks, man.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to give up one or two. At least, because look, the fact that the Knicks are sacking up on second round picks.
It might be three or four. Like, it's going to be a lot of picks. But then again, like, Westbrook doesn't have as much value as Harden. Because I remember I saw, like, the Harden packages had to be, like, ridiculous. Yeah. Like, Westbrook, I don't think it'll be nearly that high. But. No, it won't be as high, but they're still going to want a lot of value.
Oh, and completely. Like,
I don't know how many teams are really going to be, like, wanting Westbrook anyway. So, like, that might give us the best possible, like, package. I saw a lot of, like, Wall for Westbrook. Like, I don't know what the Wizards packages might be. But, I'm trying to think, like, what might be – what's a realistic package before we wrap up? I'd say it's going to have to be like 4 or 5 picks, probably 3 first rounders, maybe some of them unprotected, along with either Frank or DSJ and Kevin Knox and probably some other random cap fillers.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I think that for me, if the Knicks are going for Westbrook, this is hard.
Yeah, no, like we talk about it and then you kind of realize like putting a package together, like it, you got to make it. Because, like, also, like, if the Knicks are going to overhaul, like, a fifth, a quarter of their roster, they're going to need to get some role players back from Houston in that trade as well.
Well, no, because there'll be some randoms that come into the Knicks. That always happens in these kind of trades. Well, there'll be one or two random role players that don't really do anything and are just kind of there.
Yeah, but, yeah, you're right, you're right. Like a Trey Burke almost.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Burke I really liked when he was a Knick, but that's besides the point. I think that
the Knicks have always like those guys that like ball out like one or two games and then we get hyped and we act like he's the next Jeremy Lin and then
okay, with the Knicks, I think that you're going to have to trade probably a minimum of 2 first round picks. Maybe you get a second or two in return.
I'd say if we only have to trade 2 first round picks for Westbrook, that might be a steal. And I don't even know if some people would like that. Like I'd have mixed feelings on that, to be honest.
See, I only have mixed feelings about that because of his age. I mean, Westbrook isn't young, and that's why I'm saying I'm a little hesitant for that. Because well, you're giving away.
Here's the thing about the Knicks: if the Knicks are confident enough in their core that they have now, like their RJ Mitchell, Obi, whatever point guard, whatever, you know, if they're confident enough in that core that they think they can trade draft picks, I'm sold. But I don't know if I'm personally confident in that core because I haven't seen enough yet.
Look, Russell Westbrook just turned 32, so he's not young. It's not like he's going to be the centerpiece of this team for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
This is a player that's going to be the face of the franchise if he's ended up traded to the Knicks, where he'll have most likely a Melo run. It'll be 5, 6 years. Obviously, Melo is younger, but 5, 6 years, well, he'll be the helm, and then that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And, like, at that point, you also just need to pray he stays healthy.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but I like the idea of a Thibodeau coach with a Westbrook type player. I don't know. That idea, it's more attractive because of Thibodeau. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
I
don't know. Like, say what you want about Thibodeau. Like, I feel like he knows how to get players to win if he can just get a star like that.
Yeah. All right. So I think right there, hopefully we'll have more information for next week's episode in terms of the Knicks. Hopefully there'll be some sort of trade. We'll also get into the Nets a little bit next episode just because of maybe something that happens with Harden.
I mean, the Knicks did more than the Nets this week, so yeah. It's not like we were being biased.
No. I mean, it's a lot. It's nice to actually talk about the Knicks for once. The Nets had their
spotlight
during the bubble. But, yeah,
it's here's nice the thing about the Nets. I saw a tweet today, like, real New Yorkers root for the Knicks, and we all know that. No shade to you Nets fans, because I still love you, kinda.
Kinda.
You know the vibes.
That's all that we have for today. Why don't you plug your socials, Keegs?
All right, so as always, I am at Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter, but the L is a 1. That's Kai1E Keegan. And if you want to follow us on Instagram and Twitter, it's on Instagram at Big Apple Sports Media and on Twitter at Big Apple SP Media. And I'll just say a little teaser right now. We have some big things in the works. We're really excited to announce coming up soon. I won't really get any more specific other than that because I don't really think I'm allowed to say yet, am I, Ant? No, we should.
Next time.
But just know we have we're working on stuff, guys. We're getting closer. So yeah.
That's pretty much it. I mean, for me, my socials, I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. That's about it.
Yeah, and one more thing. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope everyone stays safe. It's a good time. Like spend time with your friends and family. Tell everyone you love them. And as always, we get to enjoy at least a tradition for my family every Thanksgiving is sitting around the couch at 4 o'clock and rooting for the Cowboys to lose.
Of course, always.
And it's more important this year.
There you go.
Yeah, well, you know it. All right.
Cool. Thank you all so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.